our little Jesus story time. Remember Jesus story time? Oh, sorry, yet I forgot to mention that to you. So in the fall, we had gone through the Bible stories that took us through the book of Genesis, which ended with the story of Joseph. And now, starting today, we're going to pick up the Bible story in Exodus. And this one is called God to the Rescue. Okay? So now Joseph and his family, they're all in Egypt, and this is where it picks up. Joseph and his brothers grew old and died, but their children's children stayed on in Egypt, where they became a very large family. So later on, a new king began to rule. The king of Egypt was called Pharaoh, right? But this Pharaoh didn't remember Joseph, and he didn't like God's people. He made them into his slaves. He beat them, and he made them work harder and harder. So God's people cried out to God to rescue them. Eventually, God heard them. He remembered his promise to Abraham. He would look after his people, and he would find a way to set them free. One day, a man named Moses was looking after his sheep when something caught his eye. A bush was behaving very oddly. It was flickering with flames, but its leaves were not burning up. So he took a closer look. Moses, boomed a big voice. Moses leapt back. The bush was talking to him. I have heard my people's cries, God said. I have seen their tears, so I have come down to rescue them. You go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go free. Moses was afraid and didn't want to go, but God said, I will be with you. So Moses went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, Moses began, God says, and Pharaoh said, God, I've never heard of him. Moses kept going. God says, let his people go free. Why should I? Said Pharaoh. I don't want to. I won't do it. So he didn't. So God gave Pharaoh 10 warnings that we call plagues. First, God turned the Nile River into blood. No one could drink the water, but still Pharaoh would not let his people go. God made frogs come hopping and leaping and jumping. In your bed frogs, in your hair frogs, in your soup frogs, everywhere frogs. Make them go away, Pharaoh screamed. Then your people can go. So God took the frogs away. But then Pharaoh changed his mind and said, you can't go. So then God sent zillions of gnats. But still Pharaoh said, no. So God sent swarms of flies. Flies buzzing in your eyes, flies. After that, sickness, boils, hailstones, locusts. And then darkness, when it should have been day, until it seemed the whole world, creation and everything, was coming undone, falling back into darkness and chaos and emptiness and nothingness. Each time Pharaoh said, make it stop and then I'll let you go. And each time when God made it stop, Pharaoh changed his mind and he said, actually, no, you can't go. Finally, Moses warned Pharaoh. Do what God says, or he will have to send the worst thing of all. And Pharaoh just laughed. So God said, the oldest boy in each family of Egypt must die, but my people will be safe. And God told his people to take their best lamb, to kill it, and put some of its blood on their front doors. And when God passes over your house, Moses explained, God will see the blood, and he will know that a lamb has died instead of you. So that night, it was just as God had said. Suddenly, piercing the darkness, echoing down the corridors of the palace, came a blood-curdling scream. Pharaoh's oldest son had died. At last, Pharaoh did what God said. Get out, Pharaoh shouted. Just go. And so that very night, Moses and God's people fled out of Egypt and out of slavery, and they were free at last. God's plan would always remember this great rescue, and they called it Passover. But an even greater rescue was coming, because many years later, God was going to do it again. And he was going to come down once more to rescue his people, but this time, God was going to set them free forever and ever through the blood of his own son, Jesus. All right? Okay. Now let's continue with the readings from the Word of God for today.
Reading from today is from the baptism of our Lord, the first Sunday after Epiphany. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give you men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The good news of Jesus for today is taken from the account of St. Luke in chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. Glory to you, O Lord. This goes back to the time when John the Baptist was ministering by the Jordan River and Jesus was baptized. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all and said, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all. He locked up John in prison. But when all the people were being baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In response to the word of God, we confess together the historic Christian faith as we find it in the Nicene Creed. And we will pause and ponder just for a few moments the great mystery of God becoming flesh when we get there. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we now continue with our next song.
Grace, mercy, peace be to each one of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. So, I have some random thoughts this morning because you all want to hear about my COVID experience last week. And it's the beginning of a new year, and you're going to ask me questions, so I just figured I might as well answer all of them and then share a little bit of insights, which I will just kind of lead into in a few moments. I want to kind of begin by going back to my childhood in the 1960s and 1970s when I was growing up and going to school. That was the days before hot and cold running water. Some of you may remember those days. You know, we used to call it Christmas vacation still, even in New York City. So we would go on our Christmas vacation, and we would come back from our Christmas vacation, go back to school, and we'd have to do some sort of kind of presentation, either in writing or oral, you know, about what I did on my Christmas vacation, you know, or how I spent my Christmas vacation. And then as we got a little bit older into middle school or high school, maybe they would ask us to write or speak on what I learned on Christmas vacation. So that's what I want to do with you guys today. Just share some of the things that I've learned on my Christmas staycation. We didn't call it that yet back in those days. That's a new word. And what I learned on my Christmas vacation was you can get COVID twice, even if you're vaccinated. Although I wasn't boosted, so maybe that was my error. I don't know. I most likely caught it over Christmas weekend with the three services that we had here, and then I went to Emily's in-laws for a gathering. So between those four events, somewhere I must have picked it up. My symptoms started on Wednesday, my very mild symptoms. Emily had one last rapid home test that I convinced her to bring to down to the house to have me checked out, and it tested positive. And my fever, my little itty-bitty fever, was gone on Friday. Most of my head congestion was gone on Sunday. I just had a little bit of residual head congestion over the week. So I'm pretty convinced that I got the Omicron. I never had the aches, the chills, the cough, the loss of smell or whatever, or the other symptoms of regular COVID. It was much more like a really bad cold or a kind of a mild flu because it was sort of kind of short. So when it was over, and it was last week then, and I was getting ready for this morning, I did the Lutheran thing, and I asked, what does this mean? Right? What did I learn on my Christmas staycation? And maybe some of the things I'm going to share with you right now, you have learned as well over the course of the last couple of years. And I guess one of the things that I learned, besides you can get COVID twice, is we really don't know what we're doing with COVID. When you really get down to the bottom, you know, we really don't know how it is best to handle it, because COVID's everywhere. Again, we have more cases now on a daily basis than we ever did. We had more people die in 21 than ever died in 20. And so people are saying the answer to this is follow the science. You've heard that phrase. And that's not a bad idea, but here's the problem with following the science. The problem with following science is always changing. Because science is always learning, which means what? Science very often is wrong, okay? So when people say follow the science, what we're really saying is follow the mistakes. Follow the errors. And science, as real science, is always admitting those mistakes and admitting those errors and always learning and always changing. And always adapting to the new learnings that it has acquired. Folks, if science does not change, unless it's very, very well established for a long, long time, if science does not change, that basically means it's no longer science. It's no longer growing. It's no longer learning. It is dogma. It is doctrine. It is religion. It is ideology. Okay, the best example I have of something like that is our friend evolution, okay? Science, that is real science, is always learning, growing, changing, unless it's been, you know, proven for a long, long time. That being said, science is still nevertheless important. It is useful, it is needed, it is helpful, it is beneficial, but if we're going to follow it, we need to be prepared to change the way we look at things, and to change the way we do things, because science is always learning and changing. Thankfully, so far, In the heat of the moment, science has brought us testing. Science has brought us vaccines. Science has brought us therapeutics. But now science has also brought us all kinds of COVID variations. And now we need boosters. By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier because it's not in my notes, because I just saw this last night on the news. The latest thinking is, and time will tell, the latest thinking is, or theory is, that Omicron was created in a lab also, okay, and somehow got out just like the original, but it was created and designed in a lab in order to be specifically vaccine resistant. It was designed to get around vaccines, and that's why everybody who's vaccinated is getting Omicron. Because that's what it was designed to do. I don't know. Maybe not. Time will tell. So science is a tad shaky, although we need to use it. So if science is shaky, given that fact, then what else could we or should we be following in learning to deal with COVID and the reality of COVID? Well, I would suggest two things this morning. The first one is, follow common sense. I know it's in short supply nowadays in general, but can we just follow some common sense as we deal with the reality of COVID? We are just a couple of weeks away from beginning year number three of COVID, although my personal opinion is COVID was around in the fall of 19 into the winter of 20. We just had no idea what was going on. Okay, and then we all kind of figured it out back in 20. So we probably are already into year number three of COVID. So what would that look like? What does common sense say about life with COVID? Well, a couple of things. First of all, COVID does not mean death. Not anymore. Okay, it never actually did, but especially not anymore. COVID does not mean death. It is not the worst thing that can happen to you. It's not the worst thing that you can get. It does not mean death. Common sense also says, number two, COVID is here to stay, at least for the foreseeable future, okay? If anybody really thinks that we're doing all this stuff to eradicate COVID, they're missing the sort of kind of the point. Even in the very, very beginning, do you remember the very, very beginning? What was the mantra? Flatten the curve. The mantra was not eradicate COVID. The mantra was flatten the curve. In other words, people are going to get it. What we don't want to do is overwhelm the healthcare system. So it's here to stay, kind of like a flu. Or kind of like the common cold, which, by the way, you all know is a coronavirus, right? The common cold is a coronavirus. So we need to learn to live with it, common sense says, number three. And there are some people actually who are starting to sound like that. We need to learn to live and not hide from it. How would we do that? Well, what are the two greatest risk factors for a very bad case of COVID? Age and weight. All right, those are the two greatest risk factors for getting a dangerous case of COVID. So you can't change your age. Could you do something about your weight? You probably could, okay? And this is true even for the young people, the very few rare cases of young people getting COVID, 2/3 of them in the hospital were overweight. So that is a factor. That is a significant risk factor. So if you are older, and if you are heavier, please protect yourself the way you've been taught. That's just common sense. And if you are showing signs of illness of any kind, please go to a doctor, which, by the way, in my opinion, is where testing should be had. Okay? When you go to the doctor, when you're not feeling well, they test you for strep, they test you for flu, they test you for other things. Doctors should be having these tests to test people who are ill. And if you're ill, you should go there. But also, if you're ill, please stay home. Wash your hands. Do the things that are sanitary to keep you isolated from other people who are not ill. Okay? If you got to go out, maybe we should start wearing masks, like we're all getting accustomed to it, or keeping our distance or whatever. All of which we should have been doing all along. What is this being sick and then going out in the world and spreading your germs and sharing the wealth? What is that? So maybe now we can have some more common sense about what people do when they are not well. We should also, speaking of common sense and learning to live with COVID, expect COVID to recur in the winter. Like, I think it started in fall of 19 into winter of 20, and in the fall of 20 into the winter of 21, and now again in the fall of 21 into the winter of 22, just like the flu, just like colds. But we also need to understand why this happens, okay? Why these things recur in the winter. Rob, maybe you'll agree with me or with my chiropractor, but he says there's no such thing as flu season, right? Where does flu go for the winter? Okay? Flu is everywhere all the time. So is the cold virus. So why do more people get it in the winter than in the summer? Which makes it seem like flu season. Because in the winter, we eat worse. We eat a lot of processed carbs. We sit more. And we stay indoors. When you eat bad and you sit and you stay indoors, that is not a prescription or a recipe for health. So what do we do different in the summertime? We eat better because we have fresh fruit and vegetables, some of which are local. We are more active and we go outdoors in the sun specifically. So people are generally healthier in the summer and they are generally not healthier in the winter. And so people tend to get flus and colds and now COVID in the winter as opposed to in the summer. So the best thing you can do to avoid COVID all year long, all the time, or to get a very mild case of it is to eat healthy, drink plenty, keep moving, and get outdoors in the sun. Get some of that vitamin D. Okay? That sound good to you? Okay. All right, I'll just keep talking. All right, that's fine. Hold on a second. I just want you to correct me if I'm wrong, though.
Well, I'll be facetious. What we need to do is close the churches and the gyms and keep the liquor stores open.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. Right. All right. So Bob just shared some more common sense about learning to live with COVID. But this is part of the bigger picture. I mean, I could say much more can be said about learning to live with COVID by following common sense while science tries to figure stuff out. But so far, I have not said anything Christian yet. I mean, we are in church, you know, at some point in time, the pastor should say something Christian. And I'm about to do that. So far, this has been common sense, godly wisdom. This is first article stuff. What is a Christian approach to learning to live with COVID? Not the Christian approach, but a Christian approach, a second article approach to learning to live with COVID. And this is my second suggestion for this morning. I would suggest, one of my random thoughts, is to follow faith. One is follow common sense. Two is follow faith, follow trust in God. Because faith, let's start here. Faith understands that creation, nature, and the people within it are fallen. That means creation and people are subject, susceptible to the consequences of sin. And what are those consequences of sin? They're basically two. Disease and death. That's what sin does, has done to creation and to the people within it. Faith understands this, and faith does not resist or isolate or insulate from the reality of life in a fallen world. Life in a fallen world is going to consist of disease and death. I don't know why. Some people, when, and not others. But faith, instead of resisting, insulating, and isolating, faith overcomes. Faith overcomes the reality of a fallen world in Christ. There are no guarantees, folks, in this life, in this world, about anything except God's promises. And his promises boil down to two categories: resurrection and eternal life. That's the deal. Okay? That's what our faith is in. That's what our faith looks forward to: resurrection, when Jesus returns, and eternal life. And that's what faith looks and trusts in. Because faith understands that life in this world is going to have disease, it's going to have suffering, it's even going to have grief, but in the disease and in the suffering and in the grief, God is present. And God is working. And we are not alone, and it is not pointless. So therefore, faith can go into this world and accept risk. Because there's no life in this world without risk. Because faith knows that life is going to have hardship in it. But faith also knows that the hardship of this world, in this world, has a purpose in which God is working, through which God's trying to accomplish something. And that hardship and that suffering and that disease and even that grief is not the last word. God has the last word. So faith is not afraid of risk. It's not afraid of disease. It's not afraid of hardship. It's not afraid of suffering. It's not even afraid of death. But faces all of them with hope and with confidence and with peace. Because faith does not come from a spirit of fear, which is what's out there in the world. Faith, the Bible says, comes from the Holy Spirit, which the Bible says is a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? The Spirit of God is a spirit of, gives us a sound mind from which we can have common sense, but then also through which we can have faith. And so faith looks confidently beyond the risk and beyond the disease and beyond the suffering and beyond the grief and even beyond the grave to God's triumph. And God's triumph takes everything in life, even the bad stuff. God's triumph takes everything in life and turns it over for good, for you, for his people. And then after this life is over, God's triumph overcomes everything that has happened to you in this life, overcomes it ultimately and finally and forever in eternity. Okay? That's what faith trusts. That's the difference that faith makes in a person, in people, and that's the difference that people of faith make in this world. That is why God put you into the corner of the world where you are. You are his man, his woman, his child in your corner of the world to show your faith to others and the difference that it makes in dealing with life, especially life in a world full of COVID. That's what your baptism did. Your baptism made you a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God. And he put you right where he put you so that you can take that faith that you've got, that he's given you also, and you can actually show it. Because there's a whole lot of people in your corner of the world that don't got it. And what they have in place of your faith is fear and anxiety. Because the world in which we live is a fearful, anxious place. Anybody notice? And there are some people in this world that are peddling fear and anxiety because they would love to be able to control you. That's a different conversation. But most people in this world just simply want their fear and anxiety to calm down and to end and to so they can live. And guess what? You know how. See, the world overcomes its fear and anxiety by science. And to a great extent, it works. Not always. We, on the other hand, as Christians, we overcome our fear and anxiety and the fear and anxiety of the world by faith in the Word of God, in His sure Word. So my invitation to you this morning is to go and show your faith to the world, to your corner of the world where you are. Be that man, be that woman, be that child of confident peace. No matter what's going on around you. Maybe I can summarize the last 3 years by saying it this way, and hopefully Facebook won't, you know, delete incorrect speech. China gave us COVID with your help, because we funded it. Trump gave us vaccines and some therapeutics. Biden's giving us a plan to shut down the virus. Good luck with that. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a difference. And that victory is yours no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the science is saying, no matter who's in office, no matter who created this monster. God still gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because we trust in Him. We believe His word. We have faith in what we have learned and what He has told us. And so we are going to live our baptism in our little corner of the world without cowering and without being afraid. Can we do that? Amen? Amen, folks. Amen. All right. And those are my random thoughts for the beginning of 2022. Let's see what happens. We're going to continue our service now as we receive the tithes and offerings that we have brought for the Lord. And as we do so, I invite you to listen to this.
Come on.
What's up, buddy?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come. My
That's a little tough to follow, but I will ask the members of the church council of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church to please rise in their places to be installed for your year of service in this new year, 2022. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in good order. And so to that end, the Constitution and bylaws of our congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early church as described in the book of Acts, chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples together and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Also, the Apostle Peter writes in his first letter, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so you have been elected or appointed to serve in various positions on the various boards of our church council. You have been chosen to fill these specific offices and responsibilities here at Good Shepherd. Accordingly, then, you are to work with the pastor, me, that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. Specifically, you are to see to it that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. Also, you are to see to it that the temporal affairs of our congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among our members, and in promoting the general welfare of our congregation and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of our church, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and deed to be faithful to him in service and in Christian devotion. And so now, in the presence of God and of our congregation, I therefore ask you, council members, do you accept the office that has been entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord, conforming yourself to his word, in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If you do, then answer together, please, "I do, with the help of God." And now to the congregation, those who are seated, I ask, or I say, you have heard the promise of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have elected to serve as members of our church council. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work may be accomplished in our midst? If you do, then answer together, "We do, with the help of God." Then, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are standing, I install you and welcome you as officers and members of the various boards of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on the church council, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten you and strengthen you in your office, that you may be a good and faithful steward to the glory of his name and for the good of his people. Let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks that you have raised up these servants of yours for work among your people. And so we humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, that spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, those gifts that they need for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, enkindle the zeal of our members, that your name may be glorified and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people in these capacities and have now completed their time of service. And we pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ say to us, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We pray all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, members of the council, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. I would now invite the congregation to please rise and join the council members as we pray. Gracious and merciful Father, as the heavens were opened at the baptism of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so you have opened the very heavens to us as your baptized people. Give us therefore the confidence of faith and the power of your love, that we may live as your children even now amidst the changes of this fallen world, and in particular in the midst of this COVID reality. Always rejoicing in your constant mercy and grace, and always trusting in the promise and the power of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant your blessing upon our church and upon all of your people around the world, your whole church. Give wisdom and confidence to those who serve as pastors and teachers and missionaries and all those who bring your word to others. Help them in their faithfulness and in their love, that they may show it to all your people, so that your truth may sound forth all over the world, here in Point Pleasant, and prevail in our lives and in our service in our little corner of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve our nation, O Lord, in the ways of righteousness and peace. Give our leaders a sense of justice and peace and righteousness and wisdom, and guide all the leaders of all the nations of the world to pursue these ends and these goals. Guard and protect all who serve in our armed forces, all who protect and serve us in our communities, and all who protect us and serve us throughout our whole country. And grant to all those faithful servants of yours success in their service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and help, we pray, all who are in any kind of sorrow or need or sickness or adversity or trouble of body, soul, or spirit. Especially we pray for those who are listed in our newsletter and for those who are near and dear to us in our hearts, as we mention them now, either quietly or out loud.
My friend Mitchie, who's undergoing
shoulder surgery on Tuesday. Sustain and bless all who care for those who are suffering, especially doctors and nurses in this day and age. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved you and served you in your kingdom on earth, who now rest from their labors, and we pray you to keep us in fellowship with all of your saints and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom, where you will overcome all adversity forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It is into your hands, dear Lord, that we commend ourselves, our loved ones, and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and with the words he himself taught us: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.